we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Look forward to your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. Send them our way. We're going to jump into some headlines. This one's not so much a headline as much as a topic that I ended up talking about on a couple of shows over the last few days, and I'm starting to do a little bit of it, not a deep dive, but more than I have done in a while. And it has to do with the enumeration. Yes, I said enumeration. I did not say census. That word is not in the Constitution anywhere. It is in some of the discussions later on, and certainly in a lot of the Supreme Court discussions. And, of course, we call it the Census Bureau, and even the Congress started calling it the census pretty quickly. But it's not in the Constitution, census, the word census. Enumeration I like better because, number one, it's the constitutional term. But, number two, it has meaning. Enumeration. To actually figure out the number of people in the country and specifically in each state in order to apportion Congress, in order to figure out how many members of Congress will come from Kentucky or how many members of Congress will come from Missouri or Mississippi or Florida or Texas, and also how to figure out taxation because, of course, back then it was capitation tax. So you're basically taxed based on the number of people and everybody paid the same. Well, To extrapolate on that and to come forward to today, it affects everything the federal government does. How many people are in each state affects how many members of Congress you get for that state, but it also affects how they spend the money, how they end up, you know, apportioning the taxes, the revenue, all of it. So it's a huge issue. I mean, it's literally like the underlying issue that will drive how the whole system works, and it's vital that we get it right. And we have not gotten it right for decades and decades and decades. The overrepresentation in Congress for certain states has been fought for from the beginning. And there's a reason that the founders believed you should have to actually count every person that's a legal citizen in the country before you do the enumeration. In other words, you're not supposed to do this extrapolation stuff. You're not supposed to do these statistical guesses. It's all guesswork. And I understand all you smart people out there that have your degrees in stats and love the statistics class. You think you're super, super, super accurate, but it's not a substitute for actually counting. And the reason it's not a substitute is because when you allow for a formula to replace actual counting, then you allow for cheating. You allow for manipulation. You allow for the politics of the day to influence the actual enumeration and the actual apportionment, which then impacts everything down the line from there. You essentially poison the root of the tree, and therefore the fruit from that poisoned root is poison. Okay, let me back up and put some context in here. The reason this is an issue now and not in 2030, is because the 2020 census, the 2020 enumeration, was manipulated by the Biden administration. Back up even before the Biden administration, President Trump had tried to not count illegal aliens, which makes perfect sense if you go back and you look at the actual language of the Constitution. Now, again, this has been litigated over and over and over again. There's two very important Supreme Court decisions on this, one from 1999, one from 2002. But there's also debate all the way back to the Continental Congresses. And they were very, very clear that they did not want statistical manipulation possible when it came to the enumeration. Because it was they knew even back then it was too easy to then manipulate that data to favor one political party over another or to favor a particular state over another state. And so all the way back to the beginning, the enumeration was supposed to be an actual enumeration so that nobody could manipulate it. So here's what the Constitution actually says about this. And by the way, just a reminder, this is important to you, to every person listening to the sound of my voice right now. It's important to you because, number one, it's going to impact your representation in Congress. So if you're going to live in a constitutional republic, you should care about whether or not your state, your area, is represented fairly in the Congress. Do you have the proper oomph? Do you have the proper muscle in Congress based on your population? Now, I don't care where you live, you have the same representation in the Senate. Every state gets two senators, okay? So you've got equal representation based on just being a state, right? But this goes all the way back to the Constitutional Convention and the debate over how representation should take place, all of that. And we ended up with this important compromise to have every state get equal representation in the Senate. So everybody gets two senators. But then based on population, you get more oomph, more power, more representation in the House if you have more people in your state. Okay, that's a fair compromise. We all still support that. I think everybody still supports that. That just makes sense that compromise created that unique formula, both in Congress and how Congress is split between the House and Senate, but also in the Electoral College. So how you choose the president is impacted by how you do the enumeration, because the number of electoral votes is based on how many senators and congressmen you have. So if you live in a small state, then you get two electoral votes for your two senators and one electoral vote for your one member of Congress. If you live in a bigger state, you might have five members of Congress, and therefore you get five electoral votes based on your members of Congress and two electoral votes based on your two senators. If you live in a big, big state like California or Texas, you get dozens and dozens of members of Congress and two senators, and therefore two electoral votes from your Senate. So this is huge for a presidential election, which we clearly see with every day right now, the difference in America based on Donald Trump being president versus Joe Biden being president. You clearly know that matters. Elections have consequences on a regular basis. I mean, every little thing we're dealing with right now because of a different president. But then it also matters with regard to who represents you or how many members of Congress. And what do we have, a one-vote majority for Republicans right now? So is this not important? Is it not important how many representatives a blue state gets versus how many representatives a red state gets? You bet it's important. It's important so much so that when Joe Biden came in on day one, January 20th, 2021, as soon as he gets in, he starts figuring out how to manipulate the formula so that blue states would have more representation in Congress and in the next presidential election. And that's exactly what they did. They changed the formula so that they could count all the illegals, so that they could have more representation from blue states than red states. And it had a major impact on how many Republicans versus Democrats were elected in the very next election, 2022, and then, of course, in 2024. So even though Republicans have that slim majority, they should actually have at least a 15-vote majority based on if you hadn't manipulated it. And it would be even bigger than that, probably 30 swing vote, 30 seats that would change if you didn't count illegals at all and you really got down to an actual enumeration. If you actually counted every citizen in every home throughout the country, there would be a big shift in Congress, which is why the deep state hates this. They hate the idea of going back to the original Constitution. So now let me take you back to the original Constitution. I was headed there and I got sidetracked. Okay. The original Constitution with regard to enumeration, which we just established, affects you. If you're listening to me right now, it affects you big time. In the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 is where you get the enumeration. Now, that gets amended by Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. Okay, so when you combine those two, when you take the amendment, the 14th Amendment and the language there in Section 2, and you combine it with Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3, you put all that together, then what you get in that actual language is that only citizens should be counted, because you have to factor in the fact that it says everybody that lives there except Indians not taxed. Now, of course, there's a lot that goes into that phrase with regard to sovereign land, with regard to all these different things. But what it means is you're basically saying this is a person that's not paying tax, and therefore they're not contributing to this. They're viewed differently, and they're therefore not counted towards the census, enumeration. And then a few sentences later, you see the word citizen used several times with regard to the apportionment of the taxation. And so what we're getting here is the intent of the framers of the Constitution that intended that you only count citizens and that you actually count citizens. You don't guess how many are there. You actually count them. We get further evidence of this when we look at the Federalist Papers, Federalist 36. Remember the Federalist Papers? That's the instruction manual on the Constitution. It was the sales pitch. It was the infomercial. But wait, there's more. And this was the Founding Fathers' infomercials on selling the Constitution to the people of New York and really to the whole country. But the specific fight here with all the Federalist Papers was in New York to get them to support the Constitution, the ratification of the Constitution. So Federalist 36, Hamilton specifically says, you've got to have an actual enumeration. He's basically arguing to the people of New York, hey, look, this thing's not going to get manipulated later by political forces because we're actually going to count people. We're not going to do this guesstimation that people have done in other countries. Let's not forget, if you get in the time machine and you go back to, in this case, 1787, 88, 89, during that process of convincing everybody to ratify, if you go back in the time machine to the late 1700s, an enumeration was not new. A census was not new. I mean, we go back to the Bible, and you see David and the children of Israel being punished for David's enumeration at the time. And there's times when God said to count everybody. There's times when he said, don't count everybody. So this has been debated for all time, okay? And the founders understood that. And they had also seen England and other countries, you know, have arguments over whether or not you should enumerate. I mean, there were states, there were colonies that did not want to count the people in their colony because they wanted to hide their strength. Or they wanted to exaggerate the numbers in their colony in order to not let people know how weak they were. So this is a debatable subject, and it was not unknown to the founders. So Hamilton makes it very clear, okay, for us in a constitutional republic where it's the transparency's there, we're going to put this in the document. We're not a democracy. We're not just a republic. We're not just going to elect people and say, hey, go do the best you can with what you got where you are. We're going to put the rules on paper and have it adopted by the whole country. And so in the rules on the paper adopted by a constitutional republic, so in the Constitution, Hamilton's saying in the Federalist Papers, we're making it clear. This will be an actual enumeration, not guesswork. It will avoid, excuse me, in his words, it will avoid, you know, this partiality or manipulation that could take place. So all the way to the language of the Constitution itself, to the Federalist Papers that sold the Constitution to the American people, to fast-forwarding to the Supreme Court and Antonin Scalia saying in 1999, in a case in 1999, arguing that the actual enumeration of citizens is required by the Constitution. And then Clarence Thomas saying the same thing in 2002 in the Utah case, where it was Utah versus North Carolina, where this manipulated input of extrapolating the population data, where North Carolina got a 0.4% increase and Utah only got a 0.2% increase, and it meant Utah lost a seat and North Carolina gained a seat. Perfect example of why it should not be manipulated. Clarence Thomas, the greatest Supreme Court justice ever in the history of mankind, Clarence Thomas articulates this in that Utah case where he concurred in part and dissented in part. And in his dissent, he says, it's unconstitutional to manipulate the data. You're supposed to do an actual enumeration. And as he points out, because James Madison made it clear that you need to know the exact number of every division so that you don't have these assertions and conjectures, as Madison said. This is important, folks. All right, when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the solution. How do we keep them from manipulating this data, and what can President Trump do right now? Not 2030. We're not talking 5 years from now. What can he do right now to right the wrongs, to correct this, and get a Congress that actually represents the people, that represents an accurate count of the people? And this will affect the 2028 presidential election. Stay with me, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Share-a-thon is a special time to me for reasons beyond funding our ministry. During Share-a-thon, I'm reminded of the vital partnerships we have with listeners around the country. It's encouraging to hear the stories and have so many calls from people who have recognized what a blessing it is to be able to share a Christian perspective and the Word on AFR. God has blessed us with this platform, and we get to use it for the cause of Christ.
Spring Share-a-thon is coming April 8th through 10th, and it's your chance to renew your partnership with American Family Radio.
We deliberately don't receive any government support, so our listeners are essential to the funding and continued operations of this ministry. And in addition to operational capital, Share-a-thon renews the spirits of those of us who work here.
Join us April 8th through 10th for Spring Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
We're back on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Any thoughts on, you know, not exactly the most stimulating conversation in history, right? I mean, these things like the census or enumeration, most people, their eyes glaze over, they could care less. It matters, folks. This matters because it determines the future of the republic. Let me just ask you, would you like Joe Biden to be back in the White House? Would you like Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker of the House? And how much did you love having Chuck Schumer as the Senate Majority Leader? You know, would you like to go back there? Do you want to go back through the pain that nearly destroyed this country? Well, the enumeration is critical for preventing that from happening again. You know how close they are to being able to manipulate that data to be able to get Kamala Harris elected in 2028 by simply manipulating the Electoral College through the census, the enumeration? You know how close they are to taking the House back in 2026 simply because they have manipulated the data, counted illegal citizens, and then skewed the data so that blue states get more representation in Congress. Okay, you want to stop that? If you want to stop that, then all we got to do is follow the Constitution. So here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that President Trump aggressively enforce the Constitution. I'm proposing that President Trump, when he appoints the director of the Census Bureau, which has not happened yet, okay, the current census director was a guy that Joe Biden brought in to manipulate the data. He put him in office immediately when he got in January 2021, and this guy's already resigned, okay? He was out February 14th, so there's an acting director right now. I don't know who that is. I forgot to look that up. But anyway, President Trump gets to appoint a new director to the Census Bureau, okay? If that director follows a directive from the president to constitutionally enforce the enumeration, this is what that would look like. Okay, if President Trump were to do an executive order for the Census Bureau and at the same time appoint a director that will enforce that executive order, here's what that executive order could say. It could say, we are going to follow exactly what Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution says to do with regard to the enumeration. And we're going to obey what Section 2 of the 14th Amendment says. And therefore, we're going to do an actual enumeration. It means we're going to count every household, the actual citizens. And if you don't get counted, you don't get counted. And I know some people don't like to be counted. Let me tell you, I'm sorry, I'm going to go down a rabbit trail here for a second. Part of the reason people avoid the census right now is because they've made it an absolute blankety-blank nightmare. Okay, they don't just ask you how many people live here that are actual citizens. They ask you how many toilets you have in your house. They want to know how much money you make. They want to know when the last time is that you planted a garden. I mean, they ask the most absurd questions. And some people get the 15 question, you know, survey. And some people like me, I got the 150, whatever it was. It was ridiculous. I forget how many pages it was. And I told them, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to answer all these questions. It's none of your fill-in-the-blank business how many toilets I have in my house. It's none of your business how much money I make or how much of this or how many, you know, all the stuff they were asking was none of their business. And so I told them, I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you how many people live in my house. That's the constitutional purpose of your job as a census taker. And I'm telling you, these people camped outside my house. They literally parked outside our gate and waited for somebody else that lives in our little family compound neighborhood to open the gate so that they could come in and sit on my front porch and harass me. And I told them, I'm not going to do it. I'll pay the fine. I'll do whatever to not tell you all the other things you want to know, but I will answer the one question you should be asking: how many citizens live in this home? All right. So that's the part of the reason you have people not. So if you appoint a census director that will actually do the job that the Constitution tells them to do and not any more than that, then more people will comply, will get an accurate count, and will be able to actually have a constitutional Congress. All right, a Congress that actually reflects the population of the people according to how the Constitution informed us to do that. All right, so you got to have a census director, number one, that is only going to ask how many citizens live in your home. Number two, you got to have a census director that while that counting is taking place, because that's going to take a year or two probably to do it. Maybe Elon Musk can figure out a way to hire enough people to go do not a statistical enumeration, but an actual enumeration. Maybe they can get it done in a few months. I don't know. That would require a lot. So in the meantime, you got to have a census director that is aggressive enough to actually say, okay, while we're getting an accurate count for an updated enumeration, let's say that could happen in time for the 2028 election. All right, you're not going to get it in time for the 2026 election, but you could get that done in time for the 2028 election, which affects the 2028 and the 2030, and then going forward. Okay, that's much more aggressive than just fixing the constitutionality of this thing for the next census, which is 2030. So let me make sure this calendar that I'm throwing out there makes sense, okay? If we stay on the status quo, then we're not going to have another enumeration until 2030. It won't affect an election until 2032. Okay, that's if we stay on the status quo. So you could end up with a census director appointed by Donald Trump that at least is going to do the right things for that census of 2030 that doesn't affect anything until 2032. Okay, that's better than nothing. Mayor Granada, better than nothing. But what we should do is be aggressive enough to say we're not going to wait for 2032 to get this right. We're going to have a new enumeration that's done constitutionally, and it's going to impact the 2028 election. We're going to get it done in time to impact the 2028 election, so let's get that done. Okay, that's better than 2032. But what I'm saying is that you get a census director that is aggressive enough to say, not only will we do that, we're going to take all the data that we collected for the 2020 election, and we're going to go back and correct it from the manipulation of the Joe Biden administration. We're going to go back and from that data do the best we can with what we got where we are and only count as best we can legal citizens for the 2020 enumeration, which would affect the 2026 election, the next election. I think you should do that. I think you need an acting director or a new director approved by the Senate that would do all of those things I just said. Number one, we're going to immediately go in, and you cannot tell me that Elon Musk and his group of geniuses could not go in and properly analyze that data to remove the manipulation of the political hacks and take the data that's there and do the best you can with that for the 2026 election. And you would probably have, just based on not counting illegals, as best you can. And here's how you can do that. We have data over in one department on where the illegals are, okay, that was not factored in. That was the whole thing that Joe Biden removed from what Donald Trump was trying to do. So they separated the data, and they said, we're not even going to consider who's legal or illegal. Even though we know, to a great extent, we're not going to even consider that. We're going to count everybody, including illegal aliens. So we're going to count people that broke the law and ran into our country, and we're going to use that data to give blue states and Democrats more seats in Congress. That's what Joe Biden did in 2021. What I'm saying is that this current director of the Census Bureau, there's an acting director right now that is there until Donald Trump gets whoever his person's going to be. I don't know who that'll be. What I'm saying is you get Donald Trump to put somebody new in there that will say, okay, we're going to analyze the data immediately. We can have it done in 30 days. We're going to go back to what it should have been in 2020 based on the best information that we had, And that data is what's going to be used for the 2026 election. So we get a free and fair election as best we can for 2026. And then, in the meantime, we're going to immediately institute a new count. And we're going to go out there and we're going to do an actual constitutional enumeration and only count citizens. And that information will then affect the 2028 and 2030 elections. And then you have your updated actual enumeration for 2030 that will then affect the 2032, 2034, 2036, 2038, and 2040 elections. And then you have a new one, you know, in 2040. Okay, that's what should be done, folks. That's just common sense. That is doing what constitutionally should be done. Everybody should support that, except those who want to manipulate the data. They want a false Congress. They want a fake Congress. They want a fake enumeration so that they can manipulate who's in control in Congress. We want a real enumeration, and that's what Donald Trump should go for. So President Trump, I don't know if you'll ever see this. I don't know if you'll ever listen to what I just said, but if anybody gets that in your hands, I hope you understand how important this is. I know you do, and I hope you'll put somebody in charge at the Census Bureau that will constitutionally implement this thing for you. Let's take that ground back and be free and fair to all Americans. This should be done based on, we shouldn't be looking at who's Republican or Democrat. We should be looking at who's legal or illegal. We should be looking at who's a legal citizen. We're only going to count those, and that's going to determine the representation in Congress. It's huge, folks. It's got to be done. I pray that we can get it done now, not in 2030, now, because it will affect the next Congress, it'll affect the presidential election in 2028, and it'll affect the whole nation going forward. Okay, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. Billy's up first in Texas. Billy, go ahead, man. Your comment, question, or insult. I'm ready.
Hey, Rick. I'm 71 years old, so I've answered questions for several censuses in my lifetime.
Yeah.
In 2020, I signed up or applied for a job to be a part of the census. Over a year later, I was contacted and was hired. And I went to the meeting, and the lady, what they were talking about people that they said you'll be sent to people who have been counted two or three times. But go ahead and ask the questions and get them to answer the question and to make sure we got their info right. And I asked, I said, well, that's counting them too many times. And the lady says, well, the system will kick them out if they're duplicated.
We hope.
It didn't make sense to me. And I just said, look, I can't do this.
Do you remember, Billy, how there were two different questionnaires? Actually, there's more than two, I think, but I know there was at least two, and there's one that's a handful of questions, 10 or 12, 15 maybe, and then there's the one that's like a book, and that's the one I got on that list somehow. And that's a small percentage, but it's just totally invasive. Do you remember anything about that? Do you remember if you had...
I don't remember, and I wish I had saved what I had. I just was so frustrated, I threw it all away. This is ridiculous. I can't believe we're doing this.
Well, and I got to say, brother, I know it takes a ton of manpower to get this done, and so they do have to hire a lot of people to do this. And so I'm hoping people that are listening will not, you know, even though what you're saying was frustrating and discouraging, hopefully we can change this and get a lot of good people to take these jobs and go be honest and go be, you know, go get this done, because it affects so much of who. It's kind of like doing jury duty, to be honest with you. It's like nobody wants to have to, you know, take 5 days off of work or 2 weeks or month if you're in a, you know, or grand jury duty. Nobody wants to do it because they're busy, but it's such a critical part of our republic working. If we don't have a good justice system, if we don't have good people serving on those juries, the whole system breaks down. And so it's sort of that live fortune, sacred honor, folks. You give it in a lot of different ways. So I guess while I'm calling on President Trump to get a good census director that will do these things that I'm talking about to make us constitutional again, at the same time, I'm calling on you as citizens out there to potentially take on, if you're able right now, if you could do that, sign up to be one of those census takers and be someone that goes out there and is honest about this, collecting the data honestly, putting the data in honestly, and let's hopefully get good policies so that you don't have to do what Billy was talking about and go count people 2, 3, 4 times and hope that it's not going to be manipulated by someone. I'll tell you one of the other problems here real quick, and the reason that they're having him go back and recount and get more questions answered, it's because government is outside of its proper jurisdictional area that they're collecting all this data. And what I mean by that is, if you didn't have the federal government trying to take care of everybody, if you didn't have the federal government taking money from Americans to redistribute it to who they think should get it, then you wouldn't have so many questions. But they have you answer all of these questions because they're trying to get the data to determine where they're going to send the money to take care of everybody. So welfare, health care, education, all these things federal government has been doing that they shouldn't be doing, requires them then to go get the information to then determine where they send all the money for all those things they shouldn't have been doing in the first place. So it's kind of one of those things where, the bad decisions of the politicians to create these programs then empowers the bureaucrats that are unelected to have to go make a bunch more bad decisions. So it's just like I said, it's the poison in the root ends up producing poisoned fruit that creates all of these tentacles of the federal government being involved in all these areas that shouldn't be involved in the first place. So it's just a bad situation that's easily corrected. The solution is simple: become constitutional again. The solution is so simple. You just do what the Constitution empowers you to do and nothing more. And it's very, very clear. Clarence Thomas lays it out in that Utah case, that Supreme Court case about Utah and North Carolina fighting over the loss of that seat in Utah being given to North Carolina because of the manipulation of the data. Clarence Thomas's decision lays it out. And I'll probably talk more about it was a dissenting opinion. It was concurring in part, but dissenting in part. And it's the roadmap for what should be done. So, President Trump, if you're watching this, go listen to Justice Thomas, the greatest Supreme Court justice in the history of mankind. I am a big Clarence Thomas fan. Why? Because he goes back to original intent. You go read this decision, it's kind of like the McDonald case on Second Amendment and self-defense and the natural law of self-defense. He takes us back to the debates in Congress, in the 14th Amendment. He goes back to original intent. Clarence Thomas does that better than any Supreme Court justice in history. All right, folks, got to take a quick break. The phone number, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Renee in Alabama, Jackie in Texas, all the other callers. Hang on. I'll be back to you when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Backed by popular demand, the AFA Easter Button is here. The bold new stained glass design features the cross at the center under the message, "He is risen." This beautiful design tells the story in one line. It's a conversation starter, so you might share the saving truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. A 10-pack of buttons is $15. 10 or more 10-packs are just $7 each. Order today at resources.afa.net. That's resources.afa.net. He is risen indeed.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you staying with me today. We're talking the enumeration. I know, normally would put you to sleep. It would be one of those things you listen to as you're trying to nod off. You just can't fall asleep. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go listen to Rick Green talk about the census, because that's so exhilarating that I'll fall asleep within about 6 seconds. Normally, that would be the case. But right now, we're talking about saving the Republic, folks. We're going to save the Republic by becoming constitutional again, actually following the constitutional requirements for an enumeration, and then we get a Congress that actually represents the people and a president that has an electoral college that represents the people as well. So this is a way to make sure that Democrats cannot manipulate the process to get more votes for president, more electoral votes for president, nor can they manipulate the process to get more members of the House of Representatives in Congress, and it makes sure that we're not doing this based on Republican or Democrat. We're just counting. We're just counting the numbers, and we're being fair across the whole country because we're actually counting those people. That's what we're talking about here. That should keep you awake at night if we don't do it, right? I mean, that's the whole idea. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Phone number is 888-589-8840. How about we start with Donna in Texas? Donna, you're up next. Go ahead.
Well, hello. No question, no comment. I'm going to give a gripe. You ready?
Wait. If it's not a question or comment, the only other category I gave was insult.
Okay, insult. I'm going to insult. I'm going to insult a lot of people, not
go
just
for
you.
All right, go for it.
Okay. First of all, my sentences in the last two times have always been a long 26-page, very invasive questionnaire.
There you
They've
go.
Been very rude. They have been violent. They have been consistently mean, wanting information, climbing over gates, all kinds of other stuff. But my point is, why can't we count based on certificates, both birth and death certificates? All right, because those are verified. They have to be verified. Nowadays, you have to be verified with a Social Security number as soon as you're born. So then you don't have to go out and bother all these people, which I don't want to be bothered at my house. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Don't come over here counting me. You've got Freedom of Information Act. You've got land bonds. You've got land deeds. You've got so much stuff you can count people with. Don't come to my door.
You know, it's okay. It's interesting, Donna. It's a great call, by the way. Great call. You've been going through what I went through when I was on that list for the big long survey, and so I totally agree with your sentiment. Here's the challenge, okay? And Jefferson did a little bit of this when he was doing Virginia's. He had to guesstimate on the data, which opens us up to manipulation. But he used some of what you're talking about. He went into the what data that they did have, and then tried to gather all that and come up with an accurate number. I guess I'm trying to think through the way you presented it, because I do like the birth certificate, death certificate thing. I don't know off the top of my head if all birth certificates are filed with, I'm assuming they would be, but I don't know for sure. Because like we did birthing centers, so we weren't at the hospital. So we did a birthing center, and I remember the birth certificate was given to us by our midwife and filled out there. I don't know how that's filed at that point, but it's an interesting question. That might be the most accurate. But then what do you do if somebody moves here legally, don't have a birth certificate, but they get I guess you could get that data, the green card data, if they're here legally. All right, you got me thinking, Donna. You got me thinking. That might be a way to prevent the need to go out there and hand count personally each home. If you know you're getting good data on every birth certificate and every death certificate, the tricky part there then is, though, when people move from county to county, that birth certificate or death certificate data doesn't go with them. So I could see where there's no way to other than literally counting heads. I mean, like literally going out there and, duck, 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 goose. No, I'm kidding. You're not going to do it that way. But, I mean, literally going out there and at least getting someone from that household to say, this is how many people live in this house. That's the only way I can think of to accurate, which is what because they debated all this in the founding era as well and came to that conclusion that you've just got to do that head count. I understand, Donna, why you're frustrated with the way that they're doing it with all the questions. Would you be? I shouldn't have lost you already. Would you be less frustrated if it was just the one question, so that it's easier for us to all answer? That to me would and then would could we kind of reinstill a citizen patriotism to say I'm going to make sure that I do get counted. I'm going to make sure that the census guy or gal, they don't have to climb the fence and all that. I'm going to give them the answer to that one question. But remember, the reason Donna's upset, the reason I was upset, is because they weren't asking just the one question. They were asking, the 26 pages of questions. All right, let's go to Jackie in Texas. She might have another solution for us. Jackie, go ahead.
Hey, brother, I appreciate what you're doing, and I love the fact you're trying to do it by the Constitution. I don't understand why we can't use the fact that we're having to pay federal taxes. Everybody's supposed to pay. If you don't pay, they arrest you. They do blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows that. So why don't we have at least something where, like you said, Elon and his group of people could at least look through our federal taxes that everybody has to pay, also your state taxes in most states. There are a few that don't. But that would give a very good check and balance as far as I'm concerned.
Interesting thought. So basically what you're saying, Jackie, is, okay, everybody's supposed to be paying. If you're not, if you're skipping out on that, you shouldn't be counted because you're cheating and, you know, gaming the system. So everybody's supposed to be doing a tax return, filing their taxes, and you do your dependents on there. Or maybe you could even just add a question, how many people live in your house, and then it's answered on your tax return every year. And that has an address, so you know where that is. So maybe they could figure it out just from that. Now, of course, people sometimes have multiple homes, so then which home do they get counted in? But good point. I mean, here's the thing. The Constitution does allow for Congress to describe the manner in which the enumeration would take place. So Congress could say, instead of going house to house and getting someone to tell us how many people are in that house, then we could count house to house based on tax returns. That's a great idea. Okay, we'll dig a little further into that, but at least you're still counting only citizens. You know, so if the tax return has the question on there, you know, maybe somehow you also verify that they're a citizen, because I guess you do have non-citizens sometimes that pay taxes. So that if they're here legally but they're not a citizen, then they do pay taxes. Now if they're here illegally and they're not a citizen, then they don't pay taxes, which they should be, unless it's been, you know, unless they've got somehow somebody gave them a job they shouldn't have given them because they're illegal, but they gave them the job and now they're paying them somehow. They are getting that check to them. And I have heard, my understanding is that illegals can even get Social Security numbers now and get a paycheck. And so then they are paying taxes. So then you don't want to count them. So somehow that data's got to be, verified that they're actually a citizen. So this is getting more complicated when we get away from just that hand to or house to house count of actual heads in that room. All right, let's go to Carol. Carol in Ohio. Carol, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hello there. Hey, I was just thinking, with all the passion that you have on this, that you would be the ideal guy to put into that position to do the job right.
You, Carol, I'm hanging up on you. How dare you ask me to move to Washington, D.C.? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, I'm hoping that Trump does not hear this phone call, Carol. That's what I'm hoping happens here. No, you know, I would love to do that from here. If I could do it from my studio and just direct the policy from here, I would do it. But yeah, I'm hanging up on you. That's a terrible idea for me to be. I want to do the National Park Service anyway. I want to go clean up Independence Hall and all these other national parks that are, a disaster. Do you know right now, this is going to, I'm going to rabbit trail here. This is so disgusting to me. The just distortion of our history that takes place in all these national parks, these people that have totally lied to the children of America as they come through these national parks. They don't tell them the real story of America. They don't tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly. They tell them ugly that's true, and then they tell them ugly that's not even true. They manipulate the stories so that these kids leave our National Park Service no longer thinking, wow, I'm so thankful for George Washington, or I'm so thankful for Thomas Jefferson, or I'm so thankful for James Madison and these people that were sinners. Yeah, they were human. They did bad things, but look at the good stuff that they did. I'm so thankful God used them to create the greatest nation in the history of the world. No, kids don't leave the national parks thinking that. You know what they leave thinking? They leave thinking, we have horrible founding fathers. They were evil. They did all these awful things. I'm not proud of my heritage. I hate my heritage. And they leave also, right now, they're leaving the Independence Hall in Philadelphia wondering why the dude looks like a lady. Yeah, I'm talking about dudes dressed up like ladies, guys wearing dresses with beards and lipstick giving tours of Independence Hall. Now, if that doesn't bother you, it should, because what happens? You get kids driving away. I just got an email from some of our supporters of Patriot Academy and coaches did a tour of Independence Hall, and they said, we're driving away. You know what the kids are talking about? They're not talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They're not talking about lives, fortune, sacred honor. They're not talking about the sacrifice the founding fathers made to launch this nation. They're not talking about how great our Constitution is and how a constitutional republic has lasted longer than any in history. No, they're asking, hey, mom, dad, why was that dude dressed in a lady in a dress? Why does the dude look like a lady? Why do you got a guy in a beard with lipstick, a guy acting like he's a girl, giving a tour of Independence Hall to children? That's what they're talking about. That's the questions that they're asking. So that's how messed up the National Park Service is right now. It's infested with these woke left-wing ideologues that are manipulating history and the story of America to make our kids hate our nation. So, yeah, if you're going to give me a job, President Trump, give me that one. And let me go clean up the National Park Service and let's save our national treasures, not the Census Bureau. Please don't throw me in that briar patch. Okay. All right, let's go back to the phone. Scott in Oklahoma. Scott in Oklahoma, you're up next. Go ahead, man.
How are you doing? Well, I had a question. If you have heard of the deceased pastor, probable prophet, I'll just say that, Kim Clement from South Africa.
I've definitely heard of Kim Clement, yes.
Okay. Do you think that he's been accurate? He was accurate so far? Because I struggle with him being accurate so far. Does that make sense?
I have no idea because I don't know his I'm sorry, I haven't followed him enough. In fact, I only know of him from what other friends of mine have referred to. Now, they referred with much respect to him, so they seem to think that he did have accurate prophecies and all that. But I have no idea. I've never even watched those prophecies. But the friends of mine that I'm on Flashpoint with, that I do highly respect, that have had prophecies that I've watched come true over the last 4 years. Guys like Hank Kuhneman and Lance Wallnau and people like that I'm on those programs with, they have referred to Kim Clement. And is he still alive? I don't even know if he's still alive. Do you know off the top of your head?
He died before Trump was elected.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that was right. But yeah, go ahead.
Because he talked about Trump being elected twice. Like, one, he would be elected and then set aside, then elected again. Mm. My David. I've been doing a deep dive on the guy. And
dude, well, that's pretty accurate right there.
And then he talks about we're moving away from NATO. It's happening. And we're getting ready to go to war. So he holds up a stone that crushes his enemies pretty much, and he quells the enemies of the West, and then we go into pretty much a blessing period for three generations. So, it's weird.
that's pretty specific. that's pretty specific, you know. And I don't know. I just don't know. And that was, he did that one back in I guess 2014-15, because you said before Trump's first term. Hey, I might have lost you there, Scott, and I'm down to about 60 seconds anyway. So,
gotcha.
Scott, thank you for the call, man. And I listen, you know, it gives me a chance to close out today's program with this. I am not a skeptic, but I am. I guess I'm very cautious when it comes to prophecies, and you know, I have no doubt biblically that exists, and I don't know. I used to actually think, I'm not sure if there are any prophets left. Like I'm not a Bible scholar, so please take this as, you know, I'm America's Constitution coach. I can tell you a lot more about the Constitution. I try to be a good, you know, disciple of Christ and study the Bible and make informed comments when I comment on the Bible. So when it comes to the prophecy thing, I am not an expert. I have not done the deep dive, but I have been impressed, honestly, with the prophecies that I've heard from Hank Kuhneman that have ended up happening with not only the president and with Donald Trump, but with a lot of the other things that have happened. And I was skeptical when I first started getting to know Hank and first started going on Flashpoint. I was honestly very skeptical. And I'm going to be in his church tomorrow night, actually. I'm headed to Omaha. I'm flying out tomorrow, and we'll be at his church in Omaha. He's become a great friend. And by the way, total real rabbit trail to close out the program with. His son, John Kuhneman, just won his 10th MMA fight last Sunday. Patriot Academy is a sponsor of John. We're really impressed with him. And he's 10-0. And 9 of the 10, he finished in the first round. And in this fight on Sunday, he won the welterweight belt for the Anthony Pettis Fighting Championship, and he had the Patriot Academy logo on his shorts. Really cool. Really cool. Okay, just a fun, light way to finish out the program today. All right, folks, be praying for the enumeration. Be praying that we get a good census director that will do it constitutionally, and be praying that somebody gets to Donald Trump and tells him to be very aggressive in this. Don't wait till 2030 to get this thing right. Thanks for listening. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Little things can make a difference. A little note, a little smile, the small stone that David hurled at Goliath, and precious little babies. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a big way. Who will this little baby become? What giants will this baby slay? How about the mother who was spared from unspeakable sorrow because of you? You never know the difference you're going to make with a donation of just $28 to introduce a mother to her child through ultrasound. It doubles a baby's chance at life. All you have to do is take a few small minutes to make a life-saving donation. Preborn will take it from there as their network of clinics rescue 200 tiny babies every day and share God's love with mothers. Preborn has a 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Get involved today by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.